Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to today's IBM teleconference, OmegaMon XE for IMS Power User Tips and Techniques. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. You'll come away with valuable techniques for making full use of OmegaMon XE for IMS to analyze IMS application performance and resource consumption, detect IMS subsystem bottlenecks and pinpoint the problems, isolate IMS performance issues using OmegaMon historical and real-time features, and use powerful command capabilities to analyze IMS performance challenges. The speaker for today's teleconference is Ed Woods, IBM Certified Consulting IT Specialist, Tivoli Performance Automation Team. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our speaker, Ed Woods.
Thank you. Once again, my name is Ed Woods with IBM Corporation. I'm a consulting IT specialist with IBM. The topic we're going to talk about today is OmegaMon XE for IMS, Power User Tips and Techniques. So basically what we're going to be doing here is talking a little bit about the capabilities of OmegaMon for IMS, but I want to focus on some aspects of OmegaMon XE for IMS that I think are unique, powerful, and really add value to what the capability of the tool set is. So if we go to the next slide, which says Agenda. And so basically what we're going to talk about first is just what is OmegaMon in general, the capabilities, the choice of interfaces, what do you have available if you're using OmegaMon XE for IMS just in general. Then we'll dive a little bit more into the specific capabilities, the general facilities, things like response time analyzer and things like that. What can you do with the tool in terms of just general facilities? And then we'll get more into the specifics, what I call the power user techniques. And we're going to focus on power user techniques from the perspective of two primary components. The first is going to be power user techniques specific to the 3270 interface, and more specifically, I'm going to be looking at classic interface in our examples here today. And then we'll look at some power user techniques specific to the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or the TEP as we call it, and we'll show some examples of how you can exploit some of the unique and powerful capabilities of the TEP. So going to the next slide, what's power user? It occurred to me that, you know, we bandy the term about quite a bit, but what do we really mean when we say so-and-so is a power user, or what is a power user? So I started out by just pulling a definition from the web. And basically, a power user could be defined as a sophisticated user, in this case, of personal computers. A power user is typically someone who has considerable experience with computers and utilizes the most advanced features. Okay, that seems logical. My definition is similar but slightly different. Basically, my perspective on it is this is somebody who's a user of the technology. In our case, it doesn't necessarily have to be personal computers, but takes advantage of that technology and, most importantly, customizes or crafts it to more fully fit or fill their need. And that's really kind of the perspective of where we're going with this presentation today, is that we're going to look at things from the perspective of how you can take the technology as provided with the OmegaMon XE for IMS and then tweak and customize and craft it a little bit to more fully exploit it and take advantage of some of the facilities that are contained within the tool. And probably these are some facilities that you probably aren't even aware exist. So going to the next slide, which says OmegaMon XE for IMS components and facilities. I break the components into two primary categories. We have our real-time and then we have our historical facilities. So from a real-time perspective, with OmegaMon XE for IMS, we have our real-time monitor that's going to monitor the subsystem, the regions, all the various resources, you know, your transactions and your PSBs and databases and things like that, as well as monitoring things like IMS Connect, OTMA, APPC, etc. Also looking at things from a response time perspective, response time analysis, looking at transaction response time and throughput, most importantly doing that by user-defined groups. Next thing is going to be the bottleneck analysis, what's called workload analyzer, or you might have heard the term DEXAN, which stands for degradation exception analyzer. Bottleneck analysis looks at the workload, looks at workload performance, and breaks it out in terms of a timeline and a percentile so that you can understand where the workload is spending its time. Operator assist and the integrated console facility are useful features that come with the real-time. Basically provides the ability to do starts and stops and things like that and manage IMS resources. There's Online Transaction Reporting Facility, or TRF, which provides a historical adjunct that kind of works with the batched transaction reporting capabilities. Tracing facilities, exception alerting facilities, Plex level monitoring capabilities, N-way data sharing monitoring capabilities. These are just a few of the examples of the kind of things that you get from a real-time monitoring perspective when we're talking about a Megamon XE for IMS. Going to the next slide, the other categories, of course, are historical. We have our Epilog historical. Epilog historical gathers workload, performance, response time, and system performance data and stores it in an interval basis in vSAM files that are allocated to the Megamon collector task. TRF stands for Transaction Reporting Facility. TRF historical is data that's gathered into the IMS log and then maybe later on retrieved to do detailed database and performance analysis. This is detailed performance data that can be used for detailed analysis as well as chargeback and things like that. And then finally, we have our XE historical. This is snapshot history data that may be stored at the level of the Megamon XE portal monitoring agent or also may be sent to what's called the Tivoli data warehouse. This as well as snapshot history type data. And importantly enough, I'll mention some enhancements that are going to be coming a little bit later specific to the next release of a Megamon XE for IMS and this particular facility. So going to the next slide, which says Megamon XE for IMS, choice of interfaces. When we're talking about a Megamon XE for IMS, we have a choice of interfaces that we can take advantage of here. On the top line, we have what we call the Megamon XE GUI interface, also referred to as the TEP or the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. So Tivoli Enterprise Portal or TEP. This is a Java client or browser-based type of an interface. This provides real-time as well as historical data. And this also provides automation and alerting capabilities, all kind of integrated within the tool set. So this provides high-level information, Plex-level information, look at the coupling facility, look at N-way data sharing type information, et cetera, all contained within this nice, easy-to-use GUI interface. The next piece is the Megamon Classic interface. The Megamon Classic is the original, if you will, 3270-based interface of the tool. It's command-driven, made up of various major and minor commands we'll talk about in a bit. This is real-time as well as historical type of information. Response time analysis, bottleneck analysis, workload analysis, exceptions, pool analysis, resource analysis, transaction database, IO analysis, all of this comes within the classic interface. The third component is the CUA interface. The CUA interface as well is 3270 based. The CUA also contains some unique capabilities such as console facility, operator assist, and provides a different view and navigation flow than the classic. Now, for purposes of our discussion today, we're going to focus primarily on the Tivoli Enterprise Portal or the Megamon XE GUI and the classic interface. And we're not really going to focus on the CUA today just for interest of time. Okay, so going to the slide that says the Megamon XE for IMS GUI interface versus 3270, the strengths. The Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or the TEP, has its own unique capabilities and strengths. One of the key ones is the ability to have a customizable high-level overview of IMS activity. IMS is a subsystem that may talk to a wide variety of applications and be the back-end mechanism that pulls together a lot of application constructs and capabilities. It can talk to other subsystems, middleware components, etc. So the ability to integrate performance information from a variety of sources and tie IMS performance data into that is quite key. The ability to see things like data sharing performance, to see N-way data sharing performance can be important. The ability to then, in turn, from this high-level overview, have flexible and customizable alerts, automated corrective actions, etc. This is where the Tivoli Enterprise Portal works well. Classic interface, as well as 3270, has its own detailed analysis capabilities. So whereas the portal you can think of as the high-level, the analytic, problem isolation, alerting, automation capability. Think of the 3270 facilities, in particular Classic and CUA, as the detailed analysis capabilities. This is where you go to get the most details specific to what's running in a region. This is where you go to get the most details specific to what's happening within the subsystem, within the pools and things like that. Classic interface has as well its own capabilities, its own customizability, flexibility, and things like that that's distinct and different from the portal. Classic has its own assist, operator assist, and command facilities that are distinct and different from the portal. So each has its strengths. The portal works well from the high level. The 3270 Classic works well from the detail view. So when do I want to use what? Going to the next slide that says 3270 versus GUI, when to use. Well, I'm going to use the portal when I want to look at things from a correlated high-level view. I want to use the portal when I want to get an idea of what's happening in terms of across all the systems and use that as my primary mechanism for identification, notification, detection, isolation of problems, etc. I want to take advantage of the portal if, as well, I want to be able to correlate alerts. And correlation is one of the key things we'll talk about here. The ability to correlate alert mechanisms across different metrics of information, or as well being able to take more basic alerts and then in turn correlate them together. I'll show an example of that later on in the presentation. So the correlation aspect of this is key. And then finally, the ability to integrate automated actions with the detection of the problems. So integrated automation with corrective action capability. 3270 in Classic, as I said, works best with the deep dive analysis. Classic is a command driven by its nature, and with the Classic interface, you have the ability to build custom screen spaces, do screen logging and things like that, and I'll show you some examples of how that works and works quite nicely. Classic interface has its inherent strengths and works very well if you use it to those strengths. In addition, Classic alerts may be used to drive automation as well, doing things like interfacing with SA automation. And I'll show you an example of how that functions and how you would take advantage of that. So going to the next slide, which says Omegamon IMS Classic 3270 interface main menu. So if you log on the Classic interface, this is the first panel you would see. And so Classic interface, by its nature, is a panel-driven paradigm. Classic interface comes with a set of these predefined panels, or what we call screen spaces. Navigation from panel to panel is driven by the letter commands. So looking at the top line of this given panel, we have an underscore area, which is where you would enter various commands or the letter commands to go from panel to panel. To the right of that is the name of the panel, in this case it's Z-Menu. To the right of that you see something that says VTM, which means we've logged on through VTM. Continuing on to the right, you see the version, in this case it's V550, and that V550 is the version of the Classic collector portion of the tool. Continuing on to the right, we see the IMS system that's being monitored, which is IMSA, and then we see a date and timestamp. Looking on the left portion of the panel, we see the various letter commands. So you would see E for exceptions, R for response. You would enter those to go to different points in the displays. Okay, so continuing on to the slide, this says Classic interface, major and minor commands. This is a good example of how the Classic interface panels are structured. So looking at the top line, again we see the line where you would enter commands, and then to the right of that we see the panel name, which in this example is KOI-RGNA. Continuing on to the right, we see the version, the subsystem, the profile. The profile is basically the Classic option profile, which is M0 in our example here, and then the subsystem, which is IMSA. Continuing down underneath, you would see various letter commands that you would enter to go to different panels. So this is where you would go to see fast path regions, option H to see BMPs, option E to see the Earlham region, option F just to look at MPPs. Continuing on down, this is where we start to see the actual commands that make up the panels, what are called the major and the minor commands. So RGNA, in uppercase, that's called a major command. We know it's a major command because it's in uppercase. Underneath RGNA, if you look, continue to look down on the left side of the screen, you see several minor commands. RGID stands for region ID, term, LTERM, TRAN stands for the TRAN that's being executed, CLAS for the class, etc. So these are all minor commands. So think of it in terms of RGNA is the major. RGNA says, show me all the regions on the system. And then the minors basically say, show me details about these various regions. So there's several different variants of the RGNA major command. There's also RGND to show me just dependent regions, RGNA to show all the regions, etc. And then you have various minor commands underneath. Also, interestingly enough, a nice little technique as well. If you look at the RGNA command, you see it actually shows up on this panel twice. The first time you see a pound sign, then RGNA, and then to the right of that you see the number 5. Pound sign RGNA basically says, give me a count of the number of regions on this system. So anytime you use a pound sign in this kind of a deal, if it takes it, it'll give you a count. And so that's just one of the little tricks that just kind of comes along with classic interface. So going to the next slide, classic interface examples. How can I use some of the nice command capabilities built within the classic interface to do some nice power user techniques? Okay, so let's say, for example, I want to use classic interface to get a more detailed analysis of what's happening within the subsystem, looking at transactions, the regions, maybe get a more detailed region display, or maybe just get a region display that has just the specific bits of information I'm interested in. So we'll look at an example where we're going to look at the RGNA major and then show how we can exploit different miners to make a custom screen. Classic interface also includes some nice screen logging capabilities. So you can log screens and then capture those screen images on an interval basis. Those get sent to SysOut, and then you can look at them later on. Classic interface also includes a timer and exception-based screen facility. So you can do things like execute screen spaces based upon time of day. Or you can execute a screen space based upon a detected Omegamon classic exception. So why would you want to use, say, a screen mechanism based on time of day? Well, let's say, for example, I wanted to be able to see what's happening across my regions at off hours, 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, something like that, but I don't want to have to log into the tool and do this manually. The time screen facility gives you the ability to do that, capture the screens if you need to do so, and then look at it later on and have it all happen for you automatically. Similar kind of mechanism if we're talking the exception, the automated screen facility, or ASF. The difference is with this is you just look for certain detected exceptions, and if that exception occurs, it will go ahead and execute the screen for you. So using these mechanisms, you have some very nice capabilities to build custom screens, build around major and minor commands, whatever your requirements are, save those screens, and then go ahead and execute them based on criteria such as time of day or based on the presence of certain detected exceptions. So continuing to the next slide that says creating a custom region overview screen. So in this case, we have, this is a custom region screen that I built. We're again using the RGNA major. We know it's a major because it's an all uppercase. So we see that on the left side about the fourth or fifth line down. I could optionally have used the RGND major instead or pick some other RGN type major command, but I just used RGNA in our example here. Now, there are 105 minor commands for the RGNA major. So there's lots and lots of minor commands for this major. Some of them are useful to me personally, others I may not be as interested in. So in which case, the premise of what I'm trying to show here is how I just want to have a screen that just shows a very small number of items, a few bits of information, but they're important to me. So here I'm going to look at all my regions. I have the class miner, so I'll see what classes are being processed by these regions. The CPU, which will show me the CPU utilization of the regions. The OCUP, which shows the region occupancy, basically how busy in general the regions are. The TRAN miner, which shows basically what transactions are being executed. And then the term miner. So just a few bits of information, but then I can have this for a whole bunch of regions. The nice thing about this approach then is I can squeeze a lot of information into a fairly compact screen. Now there's another command that's embedded within the panel. You see it says .rc. What that means is that the commands will wrap around. So let's say, for example, I don't have like 5 or 6 or 7 regions like in this example, but in a more of a production-heavy environment, I might have 20, 30, 40 regions. This allows the screen to wrap around. So .rc basically just means repeat the command as many times as necessary. It'll just wrap the data around so you'll have it all condensed on a nice screen space. Going to the next slide, it says save the customized screen space. So once I build the screen, I can save it. So in this case, the command to save the screen space is just literally /save. So in the top line, I'll say /save. Space edregn. So this will save the edregn screen space, and then I can recall this simply by typing edregn on the top information line up there, the command line, and it'll pull back that screen space display whenever I want to execute it. So slash save will save it the first time. Slash rep will replace it. So if I want to make a change to the screen and then update and save that change, I need to do slash rep. So save only saves it the first time, the initial creation, slash rep for subsequent changes and things like that. To invoke the screen, enter the screen name on the top command line, and then we'll go ahead and execute it. So this way, then, you can easily make some custom screens based on whatever criteria you need to do, and then easily recall those for later analysis. Continuing on to the next slide that says making custom screen spaces. One of the nice little shortcuts, since there are lots of commands, especially in the Megamon IMS Classic, there are tons and tons of major and minor commands. So obviously you can read the doc, and the commands are very nicely documented, but in addition, there are some nice little shortcuts you can use. So let's say, for example, I know I'm going to use the RGNA major. So I type the RGNA major, which we see on the fourth line here, RGNA. I know it's a major because it's an uppercase. Then underneath that, I type a command that says .exm. And so notice how it's executed, then it's commented itself out. And then what happened is underneath that, the .exm automatically executes all the minor commands for the RGNA major. So basically it just says, okay, there's 105 miners. We're just going to go ahead and automatically just stick them all in there in alphabetic order. And then I can scroll through, basically scroll up and down with an F8, F7, whatever, and go up and down and see which commands I want to keep, whatever. And then that's a quick way to know what commands might be of interest without having to peruse through tons of documentation or whatever. Again, select the minor commands that I want to keep, slash save to save the panel, slash rep to update the panel. And so just remember .exm is a nice simple way to generate the miners for the major. The next thing that's very nice and useful when we're talking classic interface is screen logging capability. What that is basically it gives you the ability to capture screen images and then retain them for later analysis. So it's a nice way to log a screen and then maybe go somewhere else and log another screen. If the screen log is turned on, it'll log every screen that you go through. So if I turn on the log and then go from one screen to the next, to the next, to the next, it'll log all those screens. So maybe I just want to keep it on and then go through a series of screens, or maybe I want to turn it on, log something, turn it off. However you want to use it, it's purely up to you. Literally what it will do is it will just capture that screen image and then store it for later perusal. And it sends that information to SysOut. So in this example, what we're looking at here is how we turn the screen logging facility on. So literally on the top line, you can just say slash log space on. And then you notice to the right in the iCatcher line, you see that log has showed up on there. And so that's how you know if the log is on. So it's slash log space on to turn the log on, slash log space off to turn the log off. The log screens go to a SysOut that's allocated to the Megamon Classic Collector address space. So this is a useful way to gather snapshots and snippets of information and screens and things like that over a period of time. So if I want to snag some screens and then look at it and then store them or do whatever with these screens. Another adjunct to this is going to work hand in hand with the next thing I'll talk about, which is the time screen facility. The time screen facility, or TSF, can be quite handy because what TSF does is basically it allows you to generate or execute, I should say, a screen based on the time of day. So in this case, I'm showing you a couple variants of the TSF command. The word says .tsf01 in the first box. That's the first timer, if you will. So you specify the timer. Time is starting at 11 o'clock. And we're going to say at 11 o'clock, we're going to execute a screen space called edregn. The next box down shows the command .tsf00. If you type that, that's just going to show all the timers that have been specified out there in the Omegamon. And so you can see you could have multiple different timers based on different times of day, and you can say daily, weekly, whatever, that kind of deal. So in this case, I have one timer that's set. At 11 o'clock, I'm going to do the edregn screen. One thing I'll mention as well is if you look at the top box again where it says .tsf01, then you see the time, and then it says SS equals ED REGN. If instead of an SS you had SL equals in there, then it would actually execute the screen and then log it. So again, exploiting the log facility that I talked about on the prior screen. The nice thing about the timer-based screen facility then is it's a great way to execute screens based on time of day, and again takes advantage of things like I have certain things that happen off hours, or maybe I'm not going to be at my desk at a certain given time or whatever it is, but I know I want to be able to execute this screen and capture some information. This is a nice handy little way to do that. So going to the next slide that says TSF requirements. For the timer facility to operate, you have to have an active Omegamon class accession. That Omegamon session has to be active logged on, so you have to be logged on to the tool, and that session has to be running in auto update mode. To turn on auto update mode, you have to have /AUP space on, or some equivalent kind of command. To log the screens, you need to either specify the timer using the SL PARM I mentioned, or have the log thing turned on. So like in this example here in our options settings, we see that TSF is set to on, log is set to on, and that's how you basically enable and make sure that you can do this. And then, of course, you want to be sure you have AUP set to on in an active logged on session. Going to the next slide, one thing I will mention about auto update. Auto update, the default interval in Classic is usually 5 seconds. My recommendation is you want to make that interval wider than 5 seconds. You don't want to have a lot of sessions running in a 5-second interval and then have them running for hours on end, because really all you're doing then is just using resources, just refreshing screens and things like that, but it's not necessarily gathering meaningful monitoring data. So instead of a 5-second auto update interval, use something 30, 60, or maybe even preferably a higher interval, and that way then you can accomplish what you're trying to accomplish without a lot of overhead, if you will. Going to the next slide, another aspect of the classic interface is classic exceptions that can be set within the tool. So there's a predefined set of classic interface exceptions that come. Megamon IMS has over 300 classic exceptions that you can set. TXIQ is an example. Basically, TXIQ is an exception that says if transactions are queuing beyond a certain depth, in this case the default value is 8. So here we see threshold value of 8. So if we're queuing beyond 8 transactions, this exception will be true. So in this scenario then, you can take classic exceptions that are detected by the Omegamon IMS and then use those exceptions. Either you can browse and peruse them in Classic, or as well, you can interface these exceptions to the SA for ZOS automation. SA automation has its own facilities to look for Omegamon classic exceptions and then drive actions off of those. So going to our next slide, which talks about Omegamon and SA interoperation. With the latest version of SA for ZOS that came out a few months back, you had the ability as well then to have what in essence amounts to SA logging onto Omegamon, maintaining these sessions, and then looking for classic exceptions, and if those exceptions are detected, drive Rex execs off of those. So it's a nice way to exploit the classic interface command capabilities that come with Omegamon and use those in SA. So basically automate some of the stuff that we've been talking about in the last few slides. So this will work with any of the Omegamons that have classic interface. That'd be Omegamon IMS, DB2, KIX, and ZOS. And uses this mechanism to basically work as an API where an SA can go ahead then in essence log on to Omegamon and look for these exceptions. So those are some of our classic scenarios, some power user techniques, things that you may not have realized are contained within classic interface but can be quite useful and is a nice way to kind of enhance the capabilities and customize screens and make custom screen spaces and things. And some of the logging, I particularly like things like the timer facility and the logging facility. They can oftentimes be quite handy. Now let's go on to the portal interface, the TEP, or the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. So we're going to a slide now that says Tivoli Enterprise Portal Interface Examples. The strength of the portal, as I alluded to before, is the flexibility, the customization capability, the ability to create high-level monitoring views, to integrate information from a wide variety of sources and tie it together into a custom view, and to do correlation. So correlation is a key aspect of this. Correlation takes many forms. Correlation could be as simple as just having an integrated view that pulls information together from a variety of monitoring sources. Correlation could also take the form of taking lower-level alerts and comparing the outcome of those alerts and then driving it up from there. And I'll show an example of what I mean in a bit. So the strength of the portal is high-level monitoring, the ability to see what's happening from on high, to identify a problem, and then to drive notification, and then possibly as well automated corrective actions off of that. One of the strengths of the portal as well is flexible linking and navigation. The idea then is that you can go pretty much anywhere to anywhere within the tool, link from point A to point B, go from one product to another without having to log off. So in other words, I can go from IMS monitoring to DB2 monitoring, from DB2 monitoring to ZOS monitoring and back and forth. And it's all one consistent tool set. You log on to one place and you get to wherever you need to get. And there's flexible linking and cross-navigation. And what's powerful as well is if the links that we provide out of the box don't quite meet your needs, you can make custom ones. And we'll talk about that in just a bit. So going to the next slide, talks about the monitoring flexibility and the customization. When you implement the Tivoli portal, you get a predefined set of workspaces that cover most of the main stuff you would want to look at. And so when we're talking about IMS, that's going to be region displays and transaction displays and database displays and buffer displays, et cetera, you know, all the key system resources that come with an IMS subsystem you'll be able to see from the portal. But as well, a lot of times I suggest that people might want to take advantage of the portal to create some custom displays to give you perhaps a more detailed or specific view of what's going on in the subsystem. To take advantage of the portal to maybe highlight some potential problem scenarios that you might overlook otherwise or might not see quite as quickly. So an example of one of these is, let's say, for example, I'm having a problem with certain transactions and workloads that are queuing, getting stuck, things aren't flowing as well as I would like them to, and so maybe I want to have a display that just focuses on certain key resources that are getting stopped for a variety of reasons. This could be due to abends or other failures, or could just be due to operational errors and things like that, you name it, whatever it is. The idea then is just to create a custom view that shows me what those key resources are and highlights when some of these things actually have an issue. So going to the next slide, TEP workspace customization. One of the things that you get with the Tivoli Enterprise Portal is the ability to build a customized view that targets specific needs, such as the one I just discussed. And any of the product provided workspaces you can use as a starting point. But in addition, you can make adjustments, tunes, and tweaks and things like that, and then save those for later reference. Any customized workspace is stored in this thing called the Tivoli portal. So there's literally a Tivoli portal server somewhere in your enterprise that is what provides the various screens that come with the GUI interface. And it's inside that Tivoli portal server is where a custom screen would be stored. Once you build a custom view, it's there accessible and usable for all your colleagues. So then it's not just something you necessarily build for yourself, but something that can be shared. It's a shared entity that can be used with, you know, whoever might need that particular view or resource. So take advantage, I suggest, of this flexibility to make more targeted views and then go after specific problems. So like in the example I'm talking about here on our next slide, leverage the power of a Megamon XE and create a stop resource display, for example. So in this case, I'm focusing on a few key things that I find of interest specific to this IMS system. So I'm looking at region overview. I'm looking at what's happening across the regions, looking at the status of the regions, the various fast path message regions. Underneath that, I have a screen that shows transaction status, and here I'm basically looking for any transactions that are either one queued or two are stopped. So in this case, I don't have any transactions that are queuing, and I don't have any transactions that are stopped, so everything seems to be going. So in this case, it's blank, which is goodness. Continuing on down, though, I do have one PSB that's in a stop status. So that may be an issue, may not be an issue, but at least I've highlighted it so I can easily spot it. Same concept as well for databases. So over on the right corner, left lower corner of the display, I see I have an area for databases. And so if I have any databases that meet certain criteria, could be as simple as they're in a stop status or there's some other kind of a problem with it, high EXCP count, for example, or something like that, I can isolate that as well. To build a display like this, let's go to the next slide, and this is where you can see how it's done. So in this case, what we've done is I've actually built the panel, and for each portion or tile of that workspace, you go into the Properties Editor, which is what we're looking at here. And inside the Properties Editor, you can click on things like if you look in the various columns where it says Program Type, Processing Status, IMS ID, then you see check marks right in the middle of this thing. You click on those check marks, and that controls what bits of information will appear on that portion of the screen. Underneath it, you have an area that looks like cells on a worksheet or whatever, and if you click in there, this is where you can specify the various conditions. So here I'm saying, show me something if it's queued, queuing, stopped, or whatever. This is where you could also do things like put in if it's, say, for example, the database, if the EXCP rate, the IO rate is above a certain number, then make that show up. Filter based on just certain transaction types, names. So there's Boolean logic capabilities that can be built into this, filtering capabilities that can be built into this. And so once you set up these various options, you can then in turn save it. It gets saved in the portal, and then it's retrievable for later analysis and usage. So this properties mechanism is how you control the content of what appears in the display. And then once the screen is built, I go to the next slide, which says save the new workspace. So you would literally do File, Save As, give the screen a name, and then you can specify whether or not this is going to be a default view for that given point where you navigate into the portal. You can also make this happen so that when people log into the portal and they're the IMS support team for a given application, they might get this particular display as one of their default panels when they first log into the portal. So using this mechanism, then, you can take the portal and leverage, customize, and optimize it for your specific monitoring requirements. Another aspect of the Tivoli portal that can be quite useful is this whole notion of correlation. Correlation takes many forms. Correlation basically implies that I'm going to take information from point A and point B and look at it and join it and try to get a better understanding of what's happening in a cross-product, cross-silo, cross-tower type of a navigation flow, if you will. Correlation might take the form of an integrated graphic view, wherein I can see information from a variety of sources, DB2, ZOS, IMS, KIX, as well as distributed monitoring, etc. Correlation could take the form of intelligent linking and cross-product navigation, being able to go from an IMS region view to a DB2 thread view and back and forth. Correlation as well could take the form of more intelligent alerts. The idea then is to be able to take just basic alerts and then in turn combine that logic into a bigger alert that's more robust, more real world, and tunes out the noise in essence so that if you get an alert, it actually reflects a true problem. And that's always key. Meaningful alerts are really the essence of a lot of this, in that if you're going to have an alert mechanism, you want to be sure that the alerts that get generated are meaningful alerts and actually reflect that there really is a problem on the system that you're monitoring. So going to the next slide that says links may be built from either panel detail or graphics. As you navigate through the Tivoli portal, you may have noticed that you'll see a lot of these blue icons that appear like we see in the middle of the screen here. These blue icons represent what are called link symbols. A link symbol basically implies that there's a drill down or some type of a cross-product navigation or some kind of a navigation, in essence, that you can take advantage of by clicking on that blue icon. Now, you see these embedded a lot in various panel detail areas, such as what we see with the tabular detail we see here. What some people probably don't realize, though, is in addition to doing a drill down from the panel detail, you can also do drill downs from icons, which I'll show you how that's done in just a second. The idea, then, is you can have drill downs from a variety of points. You're not limited in terms of how you build these drill downs and links and things like that. It's a very flexible mechanism that's quite powerful and easy to use. So going to the next slide, we see an example, a link from panel detail. In this example, we're looking at one of the product-provided workspaces. This is a nice transaction overview, wherein you can see, for example, we see how many transactions are queued, stopped, p-stopped, whatever. And then to the left of each of those statuses, you see a blue link symbol wherein you can drill down and then get additional detail. That's one of the standard workspace views and standard definitions that come with the Omegamon XE tool. But in addition to that navigation and flow, you can also do some additional customized views. So going to the next slide, what we're looking at here is a dashboard view. Now, this is a screen that I've built. The prior example is one of the product-provided workspaces. What we're seeing here is actually an Omegamon DE dashboard view that I built using a graphic. This particular graphic shows the status of a variety of monitored resources. Each one of the icons that you see represents an Omegamon that's monitoring and gathering data behind the covers and then posting the status of that monitored resource. So green means everything's okay. Red means we have a critical problem. Yellow means we have a warning. So the green dot represents the status of the monitored resource. And so you see here that we're monitoring a whole variety of components. The correlation aspect in this case is visual in the sense that we're correlating monitored status information from a variety of sources, network, KIX, IMS, DB2, ZOS, Linux, Unix and Windows. All of this is going to a central view that we're seeing here. Now, the point that I'm emphasizing here is that in addition to the drill downs that we saw like on the prior panel, you also have drill downs that you have as well from the icons. So these icons are more than just status icons that show colors. From these status icons, you see the blue link symbol where you can also then in turn drill down and get additional detail information. Where you drill down to is user definable. Basically, it's where you want it to go. So linking navigation is flexible. Linking and navigation can go from tabular data. It can also go from graphics. Let's talk a little bit about situations. So going to our next slide, situations allow for powerful alert mechanisms. Basically, the situation is the mechanism in the portal that drives the alerting and automation and makes all the red and yellow lights and the corrective actions and all that happen. The powerful thing about situations is that above and beyond just doing basic things like monitoring transaction status or throughput or CPU percentages or things like that, situations may also incorporate Boolean logic. And so that's something I've demonstrated quite often in the past, how you can take combinations of information from various monitored items and correlate them together to make a more meaningful alert. One thing that people probably don't realize, though, is that in addition, situations may be correlated with other situations. So that's something I'll demonstrate in the next couple slides. What that means, and this is part of the correlation thing I was talking about before, is I can correlate and basically say if situation A is true and situation B is true, that really constitutes an alert. So it provides a way to building block the monitoring capabilities and to also do things like pull in the product-provided situations that are delivered out of the box with the Omegamon XE tool and use those in combination with additional logic that may be more site-specific to make the alerts much more meaningful. These situations may then, in turn, also drive automated corrections and actions and things of that nature. So let's go to our next slide. It says, using Boolean logic for more alert flexibility. In this particular example, what we're looking at is the base portion of the situation editor. So in this case, we're showing a simple example of Boolean logic, where basically what we're seeing is if we have transactions, count of transactions is greater than zero, and we see a transaction status basically shows that we have transactions that we know are in a queued or queuing state. So in other words, if both of those items are true, then that constitutes a Boolean check, in which case then we're going to have an alert. So you can have multiple combinations of this and or type of logic. You can add additional logic underneath that, have different levels, look for things like if transaction A is at this certain queue depth, or transaction B is at a different queue depth, and drive different alerts and things like that. So the Boolean logic capability of the situation editor is quite powerful in terms of making the alerts much more meaningful. But there's another aspect to this that I think people probably don't realize you can do, but that's quite easy and built right into the tool. If you go to the next slide, it says situation correlation example. When you build a situation, so here we're building a new situation, the first pop-up that'll come up, it will, by default, it will say attribute comparison. So if you look at underneath where it says select condition, then it says condition type, then underneath that, it says either attribute comparison or situation comparison. By default, this pop-up usually comes up and says attribute comparison. By attribute, what we refer to is we're just looking at individual columns of information within the tool. If you click situation comparison, you get a little bit different. What we're getting here then is a listing of various situations that we might want to take a look at and check the status of. So in this case, I've clicked situation comparison, then in turn I've clicked the EWIMS train queue alert. So basically I'm looking to see if transactions are queuing. And so now, if we continue on with this logic, let's go to the next slide, correlated alert example. So now what we're doing here is we're looking at two situations. We have our EWIMS train queue alert, and we're checking to see if that's true. We're then saying, okay, let's also as well look at EWIMS database status, and if that's true. So in other words, if both of those situations are true, then this correlated alert becomes true. So this is a way then to in turn take different smaller alerts, if you will, and then tie them together into bigger correlated alerts, and then on you go from there, building this into a building block type of structure, if you will. To add additional logic, you continue to click the Add Conditions tab that I see I show highlighted down towards the bottom of the situation editor. So this correlation mechanism is built right into the situation editor, and this is truly what makes the Tivoli Enterprise Portal powerful when we're talking about alert generation and management and things like that. The ability to take alerts, to make basic alerts, if you will, that are still Boolean logic driven and correlated, but then in turn as well take those smaller alerts and then correlate them again using the same mechanism to correlate and look at the status of one situation as compared to another, and then on you go from there. So, continuing on to the next slide, let's talk just briefly about what's coming, the coming attractions, if you will. In the not too distant future, we're talking, say, 2 or 3 months out approximately, there's going to be new versions of Omegamon that will be coming out. So new 4.0 versions of Omegamon XE for IMS, Kix, DB2, and then in Q1 of 07, if I recall correctly, there will be a 4.0 version of Omegamon XE for Z. So this new version of Omegamon for IMS, the V4.0, will have a lot of exciting capabilities. In general, the 4.0 objectives are going to include such things as just, of course, just general overall customer satisfaction, ongoing enhancements, adding new detail and capabilities specific to IMS. This is going to include things like HALDB support specific to IMS. This is going to include things like more robust IMS Connect monitoring support, etc. From an integration standpoint, which is where I want to target here as well, this is going to include integration, taking advantage of more flexible linking capabilities and things like that, and then also from a historical standpoint, more exploitation of the capabilities built into the Tivoli data warehouse, summarization and pruning capabilities. So that snapshot history capability that comes with the Omegamon XE portal will be more fully exploited by the V4.0 version. The linking we've talked about quite a bit before, how linking is a great way to tie various displays together and go from point A to point B within the tool. Going to our next slide, which talks about dynamic workspace linking. Basically, what dynamic workspace linking is taking the concept of linking and making it more flexible and granular in that it gives you basically easier linking capabilities, in particular when we're talking cross-product, detailed, drill-down kind of functionality. So the idea is it makes it even more flexible and powerful when we're going, say, between DB2 and IMS or IMS and Z or IMS and Kix or whatever. It's a great way to be able to maintain context as we go from one point to another within the tool. And so it's really one of the big value adds of the portal, as I said, is the integration and the ability to go from point A to point B within the tool. So, next slide, in summary. Summary and general recommendations. My general recommendation, understand and exploit the strengths of Omegamon. Know what the various facilities are, what you have when you install the tool, and understand what the inherent strengths are of the various pieces. The Tivoli Enterprise Portal GUI interface works well when we're talking about correlation, high-level analysis, problem isolation, alert generation, alert management, drill down for detail analysis. That kind of thing works well when we're talking the portal in terms of knowing where to go and do the drill down. 3270, Classic, CUA, those interfaces work well when it's time to do the deep dive detail. 3270 Classic is nice from a customization standpoint as well because you have all the major and minor commands. And there's a lot of those commands. They're very nicely documented, very powerful, very flexible, and give you the ability to build very custom screens. They're excellent if you want to do very deep dive detail analysis and then retain these screens for later retention. Screen logging, automated timer facilities, all these nice little nuggets of capability that are contained within Classic interface. I think a lot of people don't realize that capability is there, but hopefully you realize with the capability of some of that stuff now, because I think those are nice little facilities that you can take advantage of to do some very clever things with. And so that's basically it. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to join the webcast. It was my pleasure. Talk to everyone, and we will stay around for a little while to answer questions. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Ed. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. After the survey, we will open the lines for questions and answers. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Here we go. Question one, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for just one moment. Question 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And we'll pause for just a moment. Question 3, which real-time performance monitor do you currently use for IMS? If it is Omegamon for IMS, please press star 1. If it is a third-party tool, press star 2. If no real-time performance monitor is used, press star 3. And we'll pause one last time before our final question. And we hope that you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. And at this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ed while we wait for questions.
Great. Thank you very much. Well, once again, I want to thank everyone for taking the time to attend today's webcast. I enjoyed putting this material together as well as presenting it. And hopefully you'll find some of this information to be interesting. These are the typical kind of nuggets, if you will, that they're documented. It's in the manuals. You can do these things. I just find a lot of times people kind of overlook some of these capabilities or don't even realize some of these techniques are there and how handy they can be to use and exploit. So I guess without further ado then, if we have any questions, I'll be more than happy to entertain any questions you may have.
Our first question will come from Virender Beatty.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ed, and it's a good presentation. It was a good refresh. I have a question on OmegaMon XE GUI interface has a capability for Plex information, means IMS Plexing and so on.
Yes.
Does Classic have the same, and if we do, how do you, any tips on that?
The Classic is going to be looking at basically an individual subsystem view, if you will. So you're looking at individual, you know, control regions, components, and things like that. Plex level information is, in essence, by definition, going to be on the GUI portal level. So if you want to see your N-way data sharing, shared queues, things like that, that's going to require the GUI.
All right. Thank you, Ed. That's what I thought, but I wanted to confirm.
Right.
Thanks.
I will now move on to Al Snyder.
Yeah. Specifically for OmegaMon Classic, is there a way to list all of the saved screen spaces, and are those saved spaces shareable with various people or usable only by the ones who created them?
The saved screen spaces get stored into a PDF, and so once they're there, they're usable by anybody that's logged onto the tool. And if you want to copy them from one copy of Classic to another, you can, it's just a 3.3 copy, you'll get it done. And there is a Classic command. I think the format is literally like LSCR or something like that, where you can literally list all your screens.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star 1. We'll now move on to Karen Gerlitz.
Good morning. I have a question about the Classic interface and the SysOut data sets that are spun off from the Classic interface with the information that people want to log. I have a feeling this may accumulate and spool quite a bit. Is there any consideration to dynamically allocating like SMS data sets that won't necessarily use up spool? And if they don't do it, could somebody consider that?
Haven't really pondered that one. My suggestion would be, if you're looking at kicking out that much output from these, I would consider another technique. The point of the logging is more just, you know, I would call it a more of a lower medium tech way to be able to snag data on an interval basis for perusal. But if we're talking large quantities of data, there might be more efficient ways of getting it done.
I presume that's documented.
All this stuff is documented.
Okay.
In terms of the commands, how you can, because you can control how the sysout gets allocated. There's off of the panels. There's commands that'll drive you to the setup of that. It is all in there.
Cool.
It's documented. There's also help commands. Just hit F1. That will tell you what the commands do on the various panels. And, you know, with Classic, I encourage you just go in and just kind of, you know, play around with it a bit and just see what it does, because there's a lot of nice things you can do with the commands. And like I said, some of the stuff is just, it's there, but it's not that it isn't documented. It's just kind of overlooked, if you will.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And our next question will come from Mike Braun.
Yeah, hi. I just wondered, on the time screen facility, you mentioned that one of the requirements for that was that OmegaMon had to be running in auto-update mode.
Yes.
Where is that parameter located to see if that's turned on or off?
There's a variety of ways you can do it. I think I have it on one of the screenshots here. I don't have it in there, but yeah, there is a command that's literally, if you look at slide 17, I show the command. It's slash AUP space on.
Right. Did you hear that command?
Yeah, and that's one command. So slash AUP space
right.
on, slash AUP space off.
Okay.
There's also a dot AUP command that you would enter in the body of the panel. And then I think on one of the other screens, if you look in the I think under the profile menu, there's an option where you can set it just using the menu as opposed to doing the slash
key. Right, that's what I was looking for, and I couldn't figure out which one it was.
Yeah, it's not with the others. There's a different panel you have to go to, but it is in there. But
I'll
if you do slash AUP, that'll get it done.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one, please. And Mr. Woods, there are no further questions at this time.
Okay, well, I just want to again thank everyone. It was good talking to everyone. I appreciate your attendance, and have a nice day. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference today. We thank you for your participation. Have a great day.